Hey guys, just a heads up. This podcast contains adult language and occasionally has adult themes. If you are under the age of 18, you need to click away. No, seriously, if you are a child or someone who's going to be judging me around the dinner table, you need to find another podcast. Thanks. Welcome to Panda Talks. I'm Panda.
And I'm Brady.
We have a really special guest with here tonight. What? Did that English? I don't know if that English. We have a special guest with us here tonight. It is Brady's first-time boyfriend from high school, Bucket.
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
They're not... First Sorry, time did boyfriend. That did that make you uncomfortable?
No, just perfect example of who I am.
Well, I always say that if Brady was going to cheat on me, it'd be with that Tyler. You met him on Brady's birthday, but... I feel like, well, you're his other bromance in his life. Before you move to the other side of the lake, we never see you anymore.
I know.
I don't know. I'm not his type.
Yeah, he's too hairy.
No, man, I laser.
I laser at work now.
You laser hair
yeah,
removal at
laser
work?
Laser hair removal at work.
I haven't really gotten it. Maybe at some point.
Would you get your beard and stuff? You wouldn't have to shave?
First place I'd probably do it is my armpits.
Huh?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you sweat 15% less when you don't have armpit hair.
That's not true.
I learned that in health class, so it might not be true, but if the education...
If your health teacher is the same health teacher as mine, then it's false.
I think... No, it was a college health class.
Yeah, I didn't go to college, so... Sure, it worked out just dry.
Me neither.
Well, you sweat less and you stink less. Because your hair is what hangs on to the...
The odor.
The odor. So, like, you still stink, but you stink less.
Okay. And you said how much less? 30% less?
I want to say 15, but...
As someone that went to aesthetic school, I have no clue what you're talking about, so... Yeah.
But I mean...
And hair school. I went to hair school as
well. They wouldn't teach you that, though. They just teach you how to remove it. They don't teach you the facts about it.
Pretty sure they... Anyways... Bucket here is hosting his own podcast. Bucket, you want to plug that a little bit? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so most people that know me know that I work in construction as an iron worker. And for a while now, I've been working in the office as an organizer. So I took hand in hand and decided to make something to go viral. And, well, hopefully go viral, fingers crossed. But... to get some more information out and dispel some myths about union, non-union ironworking stuff. So just started, it's fresh and it's a learning curve. And for someone that's just a dumb iron worker like myself, it's pretty big of an investment of my time, and just want to make sure it goes good.
Well, best of luck. We got like 3 loyal listeners, so we'll be sure to share them with you.
Yeah, 4 now.
Oh, heck yeah. Don't listen, it's not a good podcast.
You can listen. You're a terrible salesperson.
I know you won't judge me, so you can listen.
You do whatever you want with your life. Don't let her tell you what you can and can't do.
Okay. All right, but if you get bored and decide not to listen, my really good friend started a podcast, and I had her on, and I listened to every episode to support her, and I don't think she's listened to one of mine. And she's complained that my family doesn't even listen and support me. And I'm like, I support you, and... I'm pretty sure she hasn't listened to this, so. But I can't blame her.
Until now, she'll hear this one podcast and be pissed off.
Yeah, well, I mean, I stopped listening to hers because they took a hiatus and I got really into audiobooks. I stopped listening to podcasts for a couple months there, but. All right, well, the show made by iron workers for iron workers and regular folk, too.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. How long have you been an iron worker for?
10 years. Pretty much 10 years. Nine, 10 years as a union iron worker. 2 years as a organizer now.
Oh, 2 years for that's.
So.
That happened fast.
Yeah, it's.
That's where you just got your desk job.
No, it's been a minute. I took it right after the little girl was born, and she's gonna be 3 here in.
Oh my gosh! A few months. Stop.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, I felt like once you had your kid, you stopped going out of state, kind of sticking around.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to take this position, and it worked out till to where like I can be home every night, so it was nice.
Yeah, it was funny how kids do that to you. Because I think when we were pregnant with our second kid, Brady realized, I should probably get a good job where I'm not gone all the time. And he got serious with school and stopped being a railroad man.
I think it's hard when you leave and come home. Because I know it would upset Amanda. Not for the fact of I was gone all the time, but I'd be gone all the time. And she's putting in hours and hours and hours with these kids. And then I'd come home from being gone for 2 days. And then they're just like, we only want dad. Mom can go to hell. You know? And don't touch me. I'm dad's, And so she'd get pissed. She's like, I put in all the time. I do all the taking care. I bathe you. I clothe you.
No, what I hated was you'd come home and be tired, which I got. So I'd take the kid and I'd go to the pool, whatever. But then you would just be this ornery as hell and we'd nonstop fight. And I'd just be like, just go back to work. Like, I don't even want you home if you're just going to be a dick.
Well, so. It was like, I think the problem with the railroad was I hated going back. Because it was literally like, from the time you clock out, they call it tie up. From the time you tie up, you get 10 hours of rest. But I worked in Ogden, and I lived in Salem. So it was an hour and a half minimum drive. So I'd tie up, and then I'd drive an hour and a half home. And that was with no traffic, 3 in the morning, if that's when I got off. Drive home, go to bed, and then I know, from then, I have 8.5 hours if it's an hour and a half. Usually it was, 8 hours. I'd go home, go to sleep, wake up. And there was times where I'd go home, go to sleep, wake up, and then my phone would be ringing again, okay, come back. And I'm just like, I can't keep doing this.
No balance.
Killing me. And then I got two jobs after we had our second kid. I didn't mean to get two jobs. I just got it because...
Apparently, we're very lucky. When we're unemployed, 8 people call us back at once, and we're just shit.
I got laid off from Costco. And so I got laid off from the railroad, worked for her uncle for a bit, and then I got a job at Costco. I was seasonal at Costco. Costco laid me off. I got another job at Rocky Mountain ATV. And then while I was working at Rocky Mountain ATV, COVID was happening hard. Mm-hmm. And
it was the time of the great teepee and Costco, pandemic, if you recall.
Costco was being super good to their workers. You could literally put in for a month leave if you wanted because of COVID. You didn't have to give any reason. You'd be like, I want a month leave. There were people that took months off because they were I have this disease, which is really sketchy with COVID. So they would take time off. And so Costco was super down. And so they called me. They're like, hey, would you want to come back? And I played with it in my head. I'm like, do I quit this job that's full time, go back to Costco, and then just work Costco? And then I'm like, no. Let's just try two jobs for a while. And two jobs for a while turned into a year of two jobs. And then it was basically the one thing that I hated was when Costco they knew we can get this guy to come in early, whatever. So I'd work 5:30 in the morning to 2 at Rocky Mountain. And then I'd be scheduled at 3:30 at Costco. So I'd literally come home, eat, change into better clothes, and then go to Costco. I'd get to see them for a minute, my kids, and then I would get off after 10 o'clock and my kids go to bed at 8:39.
Back to that same schedule then.
So I would pretty much see them for an hour, go to work, come home, they're already in bed, and I'm like, I never get to see my kids except for on my day off. And Costco, the way they do it is you work 5 days, you get 2 off, but it's whatever days off they want to give you. Mm-hmm. And then in my other job, it was weekends off. And so rarely will Costco give you weekends off. And so I almost never had 2 days it would line up, unless I requested it at Costco. Hey, can I have Friday, Saturday off? Or Saturday, Sunday off? I would never get it. So I would work every other Sunday. So every other week I'd get a full day off, but usually it was half a day off. dude, I can't. I need to be around my family. I feel bad because I'm literally contributing nothing to this except for money.
Mm-hmm. That's what we need. That's all Mama wants is money.
Well, all you're getting is divorce papers.
Surrender the kids and I'll be okay with that. But anyway, back to Bucket. So I guess my biggest thing I always wonder with your job, and I know you've explained it, but let's pretend I don't know again. What's the difference between a steel worker and an iron worker?
Steel worker is the person that makes the iron. So like in like a steel mill, that's okay. A steel worker. And an iron worker is somebody that puts it together. So all
right.
It all comes out with all the holes punched in it for the bolts and stuff. And then so an iron worker connects it, welds it together, decks it, bolts it up, all that jazz.
So do they just send them like a schematic? They're like, hey, we need like this I-beam and the bolt holes need to be right here. Do they make it like that, or do they just like push out the same thing over and over, and then you guys do all the extra stuff?
When the designs come out of the building, they kind of already know like what it's going to look like. So they, you know, they put the whatever it needs. Like if it needs different camber, so every beam's got a little bit of a bend in it. So when the concrete sits on it, it sits level and flat, right? So all that's designed in the pre-job stuff, and then they just beam comes out, they punch the holes in it, however many holes it needs, and then they send it on down, and it comes out to us, and then they ship it to us, and so.
Well.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I thought you guys had to do, like, everything, like, okay, we need to cut this one 25 feet, put some holes here.
So the company I used to work for, SME, they did do that. So, like, they had a fab shop, where they would put all the holes and everything in it, and then they would put it on a truck and send it to the ironworkers in the field. And we would put it up, make a building out of it. So that's the difference. Just trying to get it out there that, you know, having benefits for your family and retirement and this and that is a good thing. And that we're not here to control your lives. We're actually here to help the worker, you know. And I think a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth from stories that they've heard from old examples of, in the past, you know, of what unions have done and this and that, and just trying to dispel some of those myths and, like, help the working class people get something better, you know?
Yeah.
Not have to live paycheck to paycheck or...
Because you have a really shitty yet important job. And, like, I say that for all construction. It's hard on your body.
Yeah.
And you get paid dog shit, and that's not right because, like, what are you going to do without a plumber? Like, you're screwed, you know? Yeah. Like... What are you going to do without, like, anyone in any, like, construction business? Like, we need you people, and, like, why are NFL players getting paid way more than someone that actually benefits my life?
Yeah.
I don't watch NFL. Screw
that's
a them.
Good question. And that's kind of where I decided I wanted to take, like, this position as an officer for the Local 27 is because, like, well, for the ironworkers is that I know there's a difference. Like, I grew up different, and it's hard to talk to a guy that's doing the same amount of same type of work and only making 15-16 bucks an hour, but he's 200 feet off the ground and, you know, welding, bolting together, doing whatever. It's like there's something more with, like, for you and your family. So it's a good job, I like it, but it definitely has its days.
I bet. Oh,
like, especially in this weather.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean...
You can't work in this weather, though.
Yeah.
You can? Really?
It's like your dad is with concrete.
My
dad works in this stuff.
No, he can't. He's home all day today. He can't work when it's snowing.
Like, tomorrow, if it doesn't snow tomorrow, he'll be at work.
If it's snowing, you can't work in construction. That's why you got to get the frame done in the spring, summer, so you focus on, like, the electric and everything interior come winter, because you can't.
Yeah, unless it's a whiteout, they're still out there working.
Shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had a burp. We're going to show you how to edit things. Or we can leave this in. I don't know.
That was funny.
Dead air. McCabe makes fun of me because I don't like dead air. But, yeah, I think the first I heard about unions was in, like, middle school. And we're, like, going over Utah history and when, like, unions were brought to, I think, just all the United States, but they really did heavily relate it to Russia. What was it called back in the day? The USSR?
USSR.
USSR. And they're like, basically, this is what they're trying to replicate. Like, this is what they believe in. So I get that.
Like socialism?
Yeah. Like, and it went over my head, and I still don't really understand what union work is, to be honest. But Brady was part of being with the railroad, and I don't know, it seemed like you were saying with, like, better pay, retirement, like, healthcare. Like, we had really good healthcare. Through, like, it was amazing. I loved him working for the railroad just for, like, the money and the benefits. Like,
yeah.
And if that's what you're saying, like, union is like, good money and benefits. So why don't you explain what a union is for my dumbass?
So, basically, like, with the iron workers, the one I know the most about, we offer a package, right? It's a decent wage. Our journeymen, they're like $29 an hour. Our apprentices start out. Day one, not knowing anything, they start out at $22 an hour. Mm-hmm. So it's a livable wage. Like, and as you progress, obviously, through your life, you know, as an 18-year-old kid learning, or without kids and a wife, you're just kind of being the bachelor thing, $22 an hour is sufficient, right?
Yeah.
Could be more, probably. We'd all be happy with it. But they have a contract that says that the contractor has to pay that for you. That, like, they're legally...
Obligated,
thank you, to pay that wage to you. As a journeyman, you're guaranteed $29 an hour. Now, they can pay you anything they want, but they can't pay you less than that. And that's a contract that they've signed. And, you know, that also comes with a retirement package, so a pension and annuity, which is federally funded, and it can't be taken away from you because 401ks are kind of a shit show.
Yeah.
I mean, pardon my language.
Oh.
It feels weird to cuss them on your podcast.
But, you know me.
But so, like, you know, having that contract or that collective bargaining agreement, I guess is what they call it, says that, okay, this is what you're going to make no matter what, and this is what the company has to do, and now the union's part is to supply those companies with, like, qualified help, like, so that they can accomplish the jobs that they have at hand and be beneficial for both parties. So even though that person's making $29 an hour, he damn well better know how to do the things he says he can. And
that's fair.
So it's fair for both people, right? And we spend a lot of money and stuff going into education so we can train all of our guys through our apprenticeships to be, you know, the best there is, I guess. I don't know if it's the best because there are some cork balls in there too, but to make sure that they can, you know, walk up, pick up a tool and know how to use it and be safe about it and know how to get to where they're going and make more or less make the company money, but also have a livable wage and a good job too. So that's kind of what the union is. It's a balance between the contractors and the worker. So the contractor has to give the guy a livable wage and decent wages, but on the other hand, the guy has to be competent and qualified and ready to do his part too. So
then I'm trying to remember your journey, because you jumped. Is your dad an iron worker too, or was he a...
Yeah, he's retired now, but he...
Okay.
Was, yeah.
So you kind of jumped in, as far as I remember, like right after you got home from Argentina.
Yep.
Is there any, like, obviously there's education, but is it, like, an apprenticeship, more like you learn on the job, or is there, like, actual, like, schooling involved?
Yeah, so it's both. So there's schooling involved. We take 1 week a year. We have a training center in West Valley, and one week four times a year. So 4 weeks out of the year, we go to class for a week, and the companies all know about it. Like, it's not, you don't get fired or anything. You just take that week off of work, and during that week, you go to class, you learn, for instance, if you're going for like a rigging, you learn how to become a qualified rigger or whatever, or certified rigger. I think it's qualified. But, so you go to class to do that, and then the week after that, you're just back on the same job that you were. But then you're learning on the job as well from the other journeymen, and they're teaching you also on the job. So it's kind of a...
That's nice.
Yeah.
Is it like, will they help you pay for your education? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so it's free.
It is free.
Yeah,
okay.
So we pay a monthly due. It's like $42 a month. It's kind of like a membership fee, like you go to the gym or whatever.
Oh, you flatter me.
So, I mean, during that you know, in that month, that money that you pay as a membership fee, you can take, you have all the opportunity in the world to go down to that training center, and it's all yours. No matter what you, like, if there's a welding test or you want to get a, like, a upgrade on your rigging or your signaling or whatever it is that you're doing, you want to do, then that classroom and that, everything's open to you for that. So it's all free. And then after your 4 years, you graduate, and there's opportunity to turn that into like an associate's degree. So you have an actual degree on paper. And they all help you with that. All the trainers and stuff help you with that. So, yeah.
Interesting.
So there's no college debt, and you're not going into debt, but you're making money instead of... Because I went to college for a year, and it was kind of a waste of time, I thought.
Well, that's like... Because I've kind of said that forever, because I hate college. I think it's the biggest waste of time, but...
Here, here.
It's... Like, back in the day, that's what you do, you know? You mm-hmm. want to be a butcher, you go work at a butcher shop, and you watch the dude for so long until you're good enough to be a butcher, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I went into accounting and stuff, and I'm like, this would be so much easier if I could just apprentice an accountant and see what I'm actually going to run into instead of this bullshit, you know, made-up scenario that I might never run into that's in a book. I'm like...
Do you, in accounting school, get the stupid scenarios you would in high school math? Like, Johnny has 47 watermelons.
No, they'll give you...
Those always screwed me up.
I know, I'm like, why the fuck does this dude have 47 watermelons?
Is he going to sell them or what?
They'd give you, like, here's a business, this is what the business does in a month. Now you got to figure out what's a debit, what's a credit, where to put what. But, like, I've always been so annoyed at that, because you go to school... And it's like, for a year of college, you know, back when I was in like SUU, it was like $11,000 for a year. And I'm like, $11,000 just to go in, and I have to do this at least four times. So I'm going to do $40,000+ in debt before I leave. And that's not to mention like people that go to finishing school, that's way more expensive. And I'm like, these people give me a $100,000 debt where you could, like, there's certain jobs like, yeah, you need to go to school for, like, to be a doctor, you know, you have to go in class. Like, yeah, you can do some of the stuff on site, but you do have to do it. But I'm like, there's so many jobs you could just be an apprentice for and learn it, but instead you have to go to college and do 4 years when you're like I don't know, like elementary school teachers. Not to take anything away from elementary school teachers, but you don't have to learn calculus for elementary school, you know. But you got to learn how to be around kids. So, yeah, go spend 4 years following a teacher, watching what they do, what works for them, what's not good for them. But instead of going to school where you're like, okay, I'm going to be in the school with a bunch of other 25-year-olds learning about fictional children. And then when you actually get out there, you're like, okay, because you have to do so much time too. Yeah. But I'm like, dude, if you've been doing it for 4 years, by the time you go to take your test.
Yeah, and I think my friend is... a PE teacher, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna say a year of just shadowing another teacher, and I think it was, I don't even think it was a full year with one teacher. I think it was like 6 months in elementary school and then like 6 months in high school or junior high. And it wasn't even like, she didn't even do PE, like she's just in an elementary class just observing. Mm-hmm. And like, which I get it, like, and I know with teachers they just kind of give you like, hey, here's your teacher, now go apply. And what you get is what you get. So it is, but it would be like nice to be like, I want to do specifically high school, because high school kids are a lot different than elementary school kids. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, not to, but we have a preschool teacher right now, and this is her last year. And I'm like, this lady's so good. If you would have stuck somebody, been like, hey, go, you're going to be a preschool teacher. And she had somebody that, you know, she went with. Because a lot of people can just pick it up and be like, I'm going to start a preschool. You know, I'm going to fill out the paperwork and all that, whatever you got to do. But I'm like, this lady did a lot of good stuff. Like, my kid loves going to school, and she comes home when she's happy, and she always has crafts and stuff to give us. And I'm like, this is awesome. Like, everybody should have a preschool like this, but there's not a lot of people that will, you know. And I'm like, that'd be cool to go and have somebody sit and learn like what this lady does so that when she retires, it's not like, okay, well, what am I going to do now? Like, we got our second daughter growing up and we're like, okay, where are we going to send her? Like, we sent our daughter to a different one the first year, so we'll probably, you know, do like send our second daughter.
Apparently, there's someone in this area that does preschool. I'm like, that'd be really nice not to have to drive to Salem every day. Well, twice a week, but like, yeah. You know, and then it's like kids from our church, and you know, I just feel like out here, you don't really meet people unless you go to church, and so it'd be nice to like, and then those are the kids that are eventually gonna like, if we stay out here, go to school, elementary school with them. And
well, kind of touching on that, the thing kind of interesting what you said is that, you know, if there's more teachers, like if there's a lady that's amazing, like this preschool lady, and another girl or guy, you know, wants to come in and be a preschool, and they learned that, but this lady's like changing kids, like,
oh yeah,
when I can't remember going to preschool, but like I can only imagine like sitting in a classroom that you hate. Yeah, we've all had teachers that we couldn't stand, but like if you can get a teacher that's there for the right reasons and like they teach you and makes you like decided to go to school, mm-hmm. at like your kid's age, like five, what is she, four, gonna be five?
Oh, she just turned five.
Just turned five. So I mean, like,
that's my heart.
You know what I mean? Like, she's already excited to go to kindergarten, you know, and like that's crazy to me. Like, but a lot of these teachers, they get there, I think a lot of them get burned out before they even become teachers. And then, like, plus they're already $30,000, $40,000 in debt, and they get paid shit wages anyways. Yeah,
they all have second jobs.
Yeah, they all work, you know. I mean, granted, yeah, they have killer schedules, but at the same time, it's like they've got to work two or three jobs to make up, like, a decent – that's mm-hmm. not right. And mm-hmm. then they're half the time they're still paying off their student loans until they're – well into their 30s or 40s, you know.
Well, it's, and like, after the COVID year we had, I didn't do this. I don't know, a lot of people homeschooled, but I just tried, because COVID was the year my daughter started preschool, so I just tried to do a little like introductory, like kind of teach her something, so I don't know, mostly just get her comfortable and adjusted. And yeah, I said, fuck this. We pay someone to teach you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I honestly thought maybe after the COVID year with kids going back to school, I'm like, maybe teachers getting better wages will be, like, a priority now, because everyone just sat at home with their kids, ripping their hair out, understanding just, like, how hard teachers... because kids are little shits. And my friend, like, with the high school kids, like, how long has she been a teacher for? I feel like it's her fourth or fifth year? No, not that long. But I swear, by, like, her second, third year, like, she's literally, like, hated it. Like, yeah. She's like, these kids are just so entitled and disrespectful. And, yeah. Like, you
there's
can see
there's
always
at
teacher.
Least one kid.
Oh, know? Absolutely. And she's...
Brady was usually that kid.
Yeah, I hear fable of you making kids push pennies down the halls with their noses.
That's not true.
I think you told me that.
Yeah, it might have happened, but it's not true.
It didn't happen. No.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. I got a like huge rant I could go on about teachers, and maybe I'll try not to. It's not about me, but yeah, I'm right there. I'm right there with you. All right. So I kind of lost my passion in the conversation we had on off air, but yeah, I totally agree. I don't know what this has to do with union workers. We kind of got... This is the show. We go on tangents. Yeah. And
that, like, what we were talking about, though, is like a prime example of how a union would be beneficial, though. Like you said, to get the teachers more wages. Like, if they all came together and said, hey, we don't want to teach anymore for shit wages, that's all it would take, is them to come together and be like, look, there's a teachers union here in Utah. There is every sort of union you can think of.
Oh, hell yeah.
But it all depends on people wanting to take the initiative and stand up for what they deserve. Because, I mean, I know nurses, like, my wife's a nurse. They don't get paid nearly enough.
Mm-mm.
Like,
that's another backbreaking job.
They're right in the midst of all the COVID shit. So it's like, I don't know. But, you know, I can only say so much, because being a union organizer, you can piss your spouse off in a hurry when he starts blouting off about how she should do this or you should do that. So...
Well, I mean,
zip.
I had a bad experience with the railroad union, but I don't look at it like it was the union as much as it was like
just the company,
the rep, the one dude.
Cause he basically just pissed me off, but it wasn't like,
is this the whole like as we got laid off?
Yeah,
and you were under 6 months, so they wouldn't pay you.
So he made me mad, but I don't think. I'm wondering if I would have talked to somebody else if it would have been a different situation, because it was just like basically I had paid my union dues once and then got laid off. And then I was just like, hey, can you do anything for me? He's like, you're laid off? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, nothing I can do for you.
Well, their argument is he was like seriously like a week shy of like 6 months or however long it had to be. Like just a hair shy. And so they wouldn't pay his unemployment. And then we went to do unemployment through the state, and they're like, hey, well, when's your return hire date? And they're like, we don't know. It's for the foreseeable future. And they're like, well, we can't give you unemployment unless you have a return date.
Yeah.
And that's how the state screwed us as well, because I'm like, what the F are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was... I just kind of assumed it was him, because he was kind of a dick the way he was. I'm like, why would they make you a union rep? You're kind of a like a douchebag, yeah. You know? Like, only interactions I've had with them weren't good. And I'm like, why the hell are you?
Because
yeah. they brought him in and another guy when we were in class, because you start off in class bringing in. The other guy's, like, super nice, and then this guy's just, like, an asshole. I'm like, can I talk to him? I don't have his number, but...
Yeah.
No. So I'm like...
Well, especially the guy that's supposed to be, like, representing you. You should be...
Yeah.
A decent human being.
Well, and how do you get that job? Just apply for it, or can there be a voting system? Because I feel like a voting system would be, like, actually so
usually,
good at this point.
Usually it is a voting position. Like, my position as an organizer is appointed. But that's in the Ironworks. I don't know if that's different for other... But for any of the other officers in the Iron... Like, in the unions that I know of, it's... You're voted in by the like, mandatory... Like, it's an actual election. Same as, like, you know, we run off of the same constitutional bylaws as the government, so it's an election, and, you know, we don't have Republican or Democrat crap going on, but we have, like, this guy, you get to choose 50-50 chance.
It's probably a lot less stressful and skeezy as the...
I hope so. I don't know.
A lot less underhanded.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well...
Well, glad you like your job.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, because it did suck. I mean, just as friends, you always being gone, we could never hang out. And
yeah.
Be like, hey, I'm in town for, like, a weekend.
Yeah.
But usually whenever our friends are in town for the weekend, it's like, gotta see my family, we'll see you as we're...
Pulling as we're out.
Leaving to go home.
Yeah.
Like, kind of shitty. But.
Well, that's what sucked about, like, before, is I was in California. I'm like... The company that I worked for before, they were really good to me up till the very end. But then there were some issues, and so I quit. And then when I was working out in Vegas on the Raider Stadium, I was like, all right, this sucks. And this opportunity came up, and it was like, home every night, you know.
Get to raise your kids.
Get to see my little girl, spend time with my wife, occasionally see my friends. If I didn't live out in BFE, I'd probably see you guys more, you know, and like... But be home instead of away all the time. Because I was a year and a half, I was in California, like,
yeah,
just bored out of my mind, you know? So
I just feel like the solution needs to be, we need to, like, both buy, like, boats. And then, like, if we want to hang out, I think it'd be faster to just, like, drive across the lake, and then you just pick me up.
I want to build just a toll. I want to, like, build a toll bridge across that sucker.
I hear there's a bridge coming.
That's what they've been saying.
Some woman told me this, and Facebook's building out on the other side of the lake, and then she, like, brought it back to, like, well, Brigham Young predicted this, and I was like, you're one of those crazies.
Nah, that ain't gonna happen. Nothing against Brigham Young, but I don't know.
A lot of the shit, I listened to a podcast about this, no joke. A lot of his predictions were not predictions. Like, there's a huge... This is, like, total Mormon talk. Like, this is... You have to be LDS to enjoy this next part, folks. But there's this whole myth that, like... Oh, Brigham Young designed the Salt Lake Temple to have an elevator before elevators were invented. And they're like, no, by the time they were building that temple, elevators were a thing. So it wasn't a divine intervention from God. It just... It wasn't as far back as people think it was. Like,
well, I mean, they had elevators and coal mines and all sorts of stuff. So, I mean, well before, I think.
I think just the best thing, I don't know if he or Joseph Smith did this, but like our street system, I think Joseph Smith had to, because Nauvoo's like the same, right? Where it's like...
the grid system?
Yeah, your center and main, and everything to the left and right is 1, 2, 3. Because driving in Vegas, and we're like, hey, we got to find like Flamingo Road and Rainbow Road. And I'm just like, well, is that like 100? Yeah. Is that 200? Like, how the hell am I supposed to find fucking Flamingo Road? Like, like it made no damn sense.
Yeah. Well, that, the funny thing is like, Vegas is like founded by Mormons too. So you'd have thought they'd have made them like...
I didn't know it was.
Yeah. You'd think, but...
because we wouldn't have found it.
Well, that went the opposite way. That was...
if we didn't have our phones, because we were like looking for something. And I'm like, gotta type it in. Like, type it in. And then I was like, keep going down this way, whatever.
Oh,
like,
you're on the freeway again.
Super disappointed that Rainbow Road wasn't Rainbow. It's just a regular road called Rainbow.
A lot less gays on that road than I thought.
Well, I was thinking, I was picturing like Mario Kart. Like,
I was picturing painted. Like San Francisco. Like, we were both disappointed for two different reasons, but...
yeah.
No, if we didn't have GPS, that was my biggest thing. Is I was like, how the hell could you have found anything back in the day? Like, there's no way.
You'd need a map. You'd have
Well, that's how I felt like I was living in... a city called Dublin when I was working in California. I was living in a city called Dublin, which is like an hour outside of San Francisco. So I'd have to cross the Bay Bridge every morning. So that means going through Oakland, right? You go over the Bay Bridge into San Francisco. And then every night I'd go back over the Bay Bridge through Oakland. So the first like 6 weeks I was there, I would hit the wrong exit and get turned off into Oakland. The guy I was riding with was like, dude, you need to get the hell out of here. Like, yeah. You're killed. Like,
Oakland's scary.
You know, tools in the back of the truck, just like anything you could imagine to go wrong. Like, people want, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing against the people of Oakland. Like, yeah. You know, but like, there's good.
It's not what we're used to.
Yeah.
It's like shell shock. When we went to LA, we were going to Universal Studios, and his mom like took a wrong direction, like we were trying to avoid traffic. I don't remember, but we got to this area where there's like legit bars on windows, and I was like, I thought this was just in movies. Like, I thought this was just Back to the Future. Like, People legit have to live like that. Like, that's scary. If I had to like move to a neighborhood and there's bars on windows, we're not moving here. And I don't care how poor we are, we're moving with my mom.
The craziest thing is though, like, I worked out there and just south of LA, there's a town called not Compton.
Another straight out of Compton.
Arcadia?
Yeah, Arcadia. But there's like Arcadia is a nice portion, but like you go like three blocks to the left and it's right into like, they call it some, this starts with a C, I can't remember now, but I was working right there and I was talking to a couple guys that live around there, and they were telling me like their one bedroom, two bedroom houses, like with bars on the windows and everything, are like $900,000.
Oh my hell!
What?
Yeah, like they could sell it for $900,000.
And that's why they're all moving to Utah.
Yeah.
And I hope the snow scares them back out to California, because I'm like, I can't get a house because you fuckers. Like, sorry, you have to live with bars on your window, but go to Idaho. Like, stay away from me.
That's what was funny is like, because I went on my mission. LDS mission, not like I wasn't in the military for anybody listening. It's not. We landed in Oakland. And then we had to drive through Oakland to get. We drove through Oakland, drove through San Francisco, and then we headed up to Santa Rosa where I was at. And it was just like, man, you land in Oakland, the airport's super nice. You get in the car and they start driving you through, and you're just like, there's missionaries here that are walking around. Like, the one kid that was in my group, his, like, one of his brothers was in Arcadia. Like, that was his... He's like, yeah, you fall asleep every night to the helicopters and the spotlights going over. And I was like, geez, dude. Can't imagine that. Does like, not sound fun.
The crazy thing is, those, like, it was go to work, like, 5 minutes from my apartment, get off work, go to the apartment, get changed, and go sit on the beach, like, from, like... 4 o'clock till dark, watch the sunset every night, pack up my little folding chair, get back in my truck, drive like 5 minutes to my apartment.
Okay.
And do it repeat, you know? So
that's like my want in life is to just like, oh, it's 5 o'clock. Just gonna go sit out on the beach till bedtime. Like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, it sucked because I was out there like, you know, the wife was going through nursing school at the time, so like I was out there just like by myself. I had a roommate, but he was a D-bag, so like I didn't really hang out with him because he was just a dick. But so yeah, I mean, there was that silver lining, I guess, but that place, I don't know how people live there. Too many weirdos.
Yeah. I mean, you can find good people everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's lots of good people. I actually worked with a guy that called me up one afternoon. He's like, hey, you have any kids yet? I was like, no. He's like, oh, well, you want to be my son's godfather? I was like,
oh,
sure. And so he sends me a picture of this little chubby cheek kid. The guy was African American. He's like, his little kid's like his big old chubby cheeks, his big old ears, and big old head of hair. And I was like, how old is that kid? He's like, oh, he's just born a few months. I was like, holy crap, man.
Well, his parents die. That kid's now legally your responsibility. So
yeah, and that's fine. He's a cool little kid.
No, I just love the explanation of your very white family with a very...
Yeah, when I was out there, and it was kind of funny because, like, you know, being from, like, the LDS culture, like, you know, if somebody's moving, you offer to help them move, right? So that's kind of where this kid was moving from his house to an apartment. And so I was like, well, I'll help you. You know, I'm out there by myself. Didn't get to go sit on the beach for one night.
Son of a bitch.
I know. So I just went and helped him, and he was, like, so pumped and, like, excited. Like, couldn't believe that, like, somebody would go out of their way to help him move his stuff. And his little girl was, like, 5, and she's, like, telling me how to take her bed apart and, like, you know, make sure you don't lose these bolts and stuff. And she was a cute little girl.
6 times.
Yeah. Yeah, so. But yeah. You can find good people. I think you can find them anywhere as long as you're open to finding good people.
Well, like, first night in California on my mission, we went to this dude's house. And the guy, as we're on the way over, he's like, just so you know, this dude is like a former Hell's Angel. Like, he was LDS and everything at the time, but he's like, he's a former Hell's Angel. Like, this dude's pretty intense. So I go in, and it's this dude that's like 6'5", 6'6", bald, long, gray beard. He's just wearing like a motorcycle vest with a shirt under it, and he's just a mountain of a man, like huge. And his house is one of those houses that basically our neighbor, you know, it's like he had a house and then he just had cars parked all around it, broken down cars. But then we went in there to like talk to him. And that was kind of like intimidating. It's my first night out here. We're in Vallejo, which is like the super ghetto part of my mission. And this dude just like invited like the whole neighborhood over. So we're in there like having this meal, and it's like 30 people in this teeny house. Like, the house is smaller than my house. Like, 30 people, and he's just got food all along. They're all just grabbing plates, and they all come in the living room, and they're all just sitting down while we do our spiel. And I was just like, geez, dude, this guy, like, but he was like, he got all these people here to listen to. I'm like, dude, this guy, he was a cool guy. But they're like, yeah, he's used to be Hell's Angel, used to do a lot of bad stuff, but he, like, you know,
changed his
life. I was like, jeez. But that guy was super cool. He was super nice. And that was the first night I ever ate pesto because I was afraid I was going to get murdered.
No. Should I threaten death at my house to get you to eat the shit I make?
No, you're not a 6'7" bald guy that looks like...
Yeah, but I could poison you. Like, women are fucking deadly.
Yeah, that'd be fun, though. That'd be a good way to go.
Poison? Slowly? Yeah. Shit in your pants in bed? Emaciated?
Better than doing it when I'm 98. You know,
you're not living on 98.
Just make sure you got a good insurance policy for you.
Oh, jeez, no, we don't have that.
Time to get
one. We've been unemployed most of the month. We don't have that. But no, going back to what you said, like that there's good people everywhere. I listened to a really good episode of Beyond the Darkness today. And this guy, he was fucking eccentric, but I loved him. He's a little bit loony, but again, like, he was great. But he brought up, and it was funny because we literally were just talking about this, I think, last episode, about, like, you never know what people have been through, so just be fucking nice. And he brought up that, like, shit, one of the big philosophers, like, Pluto. I'll go with him.
Plato.
Pluto. It's Plato. Pluto's the dog from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
I mean, I'm blonde, I'm pregnant, leave me alone.
You're fine.
No brain cells. Anyways.
Socrates.
It could have been Socrates. Could have been Fruit. What's the third big philosopher? Some with an A.
Aristotle?
Yeah, I think Aristotle. But anyway, so he brings up Plato brings up, I think, I wanted to write it down in the moment. I should have, but it was, always take the opportunity to be nice to someone. And there's always an opportunity to be nice. And I'm just like, you know how much, like, a world of difference, like, if you're just fucking nice to people, like, let's, besides the whole make or break their day, because you don't know what they're going through, like, even if they're an asshole, like, they're gonna be, like, a little bit more pleasant towards you. Like, and like you said, you just helped him move because that's how you were raised, mm-hmm. was just be fucking polite. And, like, that meant something to him. And, like, that probably, you know, did more for him than you know. But then, like, in return, you got a good friend. You know, like, he was, like, 50% more nice back to you.
Yeah.
Because you showed him kindness. So, I don't know.
That makes sense.
But, anyways, Beyond the Darkness is, like, How to Manifest Miracles Before Christmas or whatever. It's really good. Darkness Radio.
Yeah, change it back to Darkness
Radio. I don't... Just type it in. I'm sure it'll pop up. But it was, like, this guy was, like, quadriplegic, and then he, like, all of a sudden isn't. I don't know his whole story, but he's really eccentric, he's really funny, and he has acronyms. I wrote one on the board because I loved it. But he's, like, SMILE! SMILE's a great acronym for see miracles in life every day! And WOW! WOW's a great acronym! Like, everything was an acronym, and I'm just, like, you're kind of fucking nuts. But he had a really good message, and I really...
Is he like really a motivational speaker?
He probably is, because if you're quadriplegic and then you're not, you're probably going to talk to people about how miracle... Because he started off like, you woke... Do you know how many people did not wake up today? That's a miracle. There's your first miracle. Like,
it's a miracle they didn't wake up?
It's a miracle that you woke up, because so many other people, okay, yeah. Thousands of people did not wake up today.
Wait, so he was a quadriplegic, now he's not?
Yeah, and I don't know his whole... He didn't really go into a story about how he...
Well, is he, like, a paraplegic, or can he use his whole body?
Like, he's not agile. I think he said he's, like, in his 60s or something. Like, he has to use a cane and, like, kind of help him walk. But, I mean, he's swimming. Like, he's swimming. Like, that's one of the things they, like, when they introduced him, they're like, he swims everywhere. He's a swimmer now. And, like, I don't know. Just freaking quadriplegic, even if you're a paraplegic, I think that's, like, a huge improvement of your life. So,
yeah, definitely.
All right, well, crazy. Union. If you're quadriplegic, they'll take care. I couldn't find a way to tie it. I'm sorry.
Listen to Buckets Podcast.
Listen to Buckets Podcast.
If you have any questions about it.
Yeah. Right now, I think we're still trying to figure out how to do the first episode, how we want to go with it. I've had a lot of outside, like, influences. Oh, you should do this, or you should do that, or this is what you should talk about, or, you know, like... Everybody's got their opinion, but, like, the only one that I've been set on so far is, like, an interview style. Like, where, you know, I call up somebody on the East Coast that's an iron worker for the last 35, 40 years. Say, hey, you know, tell me your story kind of thing. That's kind of what...
So, sorry, I just got hyped. So, is this between, like, you and friends, or is this you putting a call out at the end of every episode saying if you're an iron worker and want to, like, come interview...
So,
or whatever.
Actually, I reached out to a lady. She's on Instagram. She takes pictures of iron workers. Her name is C. Lillian. I know that's not right.
Send me the link so I can put everything in my show notes. And when you post your first one, I will post the link to your podcast in the show notes.
Yeah. You should listen. Do you listen to Theo Vaughn?
No.
So he does this thing where he, like, interviews blue collar people. Like, he'll just call up, or he'll be like, I want to interview a plumber, and then people, like, put their friends on, like, this guy's a plumber, and he'll call him and, like, fly him to his house and, like, interview him. And he put one out.
You better be, when he wants to talk to an LMT or a master esthetician, you better be like,
so
you better fly her to my house. That's how damn far away I live.
So he put out, like, I want to talk to a coal miner, and my brother, like, responded as, like, my dad's a coal miner. And they, like, messaged him back, and they're like, hey, what's his info? And, like, trying to talk to him. He's like, how do I bring this up to dad?
Could you imagine your dad? He'd just be like, this is goofy.
And I was like,
your dad would, like...
Well, I'm like, if he did, you would have to, like, show him the episodes before so he knows what it, like, I'm not getting pranked. Because Theo's just like, he'll ask questions, like, dumb questions.
Yeah.
But he wants to know the truth. He's like... Like, he'll be, like, talking to a plumber and be, like, asking him a question that...
What if you have to shit in the middle of work?
Like, people wonder, but nobody asks. Like, he'll ask him. And so, I don't, like, I don't think it went anywhere from there because my dad never went to be on Theo's podcast. I'm like, man, maybe if they want an iron worker, you could be like, hey, I am, you know, I could do this. Maybe you could message him and be like, hey, do you want to interview an iron worker?
I also have a podcast. Plug me.
Because he's got a shitload of listeners, and then you could just like...
There you go. And then you can have me on for no damn reason, just so I can snag a few listeners, but, you know, whatever.
Hey, we'll do anything.
you can fly us out to meet Theo, because I
gave you the idea. You can fly us out to your house. Gosh, you need a damn helicopter to get to your house, I swear.
It's not that far.
I just remember when the one time we went out, I started to panic, because we were low on gas, and we had not seen a gas station, and it's just desert, and I'm like, we're gonna be in trouble. We're gonna be spending the night. Like,
well, we didn't, because we.
I didn't know it went all that.
Well, I didn't know. I don't know if you want me to say where you live, but we thought it was right after the next town, and so we're like,
well,
oh, that town's like 10 minutes from the freeway, so it's gonna be right, you know, right after. But it's like another 15 minutes past.
Well, because I have a friend that lives technically in that first town. But her address is where you are, like, and, but it's technically that first town. Like, there's no way in hell it's where you are. So, I was like, okay, it's just, you know.
Just outside the
next,
of that.
It's like Provo and Orem, just like the next street light over, you know. Yeah. And then we're just going and going, it's just desert, and I'm like, can you call him to come tow us or something? Because we're out of gas. Like, and there's not, we've not seen a gas station for 10 miles.
That's
like,
what, I mean, it's changed a lot out there since we
bought
across. It's like, they've got high school, they've got like tons of houses being built. So it's like, it doesn't look so much like.
They have an awesome all abilities park up there. Or just some cool little park all my friends rave about.
Yeah, there's a park. Tyler always does his food truck there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's pretty new. Within the last little while.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they do something. Tyler does his food truck up there. I think they do like a food truck night.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes up there.
Oh, you need to try Tyler's food truck next season.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty good.
So good.
I got a buddy that wants to start a food truck too. So I was going to pick his next time I run into you guys or and you're with them or we do dinner again. Maybe next year I got to stop knocking on the table.
We can go bowling again.
Well, I want you guys to start a bowling night.
Guy nights.
Because I feel bad that he doesn't do guy nights. He doesn't do guy shit. He never has.
We're going to see Spider-Man tomorrow. What are you doing tomorrow?
What's tomorrow? Wednesday?
Yeah.
I don't know. You have to call wife.
She keeps your schedule for you.
We're going to go like in the morning. You work in the morning?
I took this week off.
So if you want to go like a little after 11 in Spanish Fork, I'll buy you a ticket.
I can get my own ticket, but...
I know, I got... I won $50 in gift cards to the movie theater.
At our work party.
So I got $50 worth of gift cards that I'm... I guess I can just use it over
theater
there.
In Spanish?
Oh, yeah, it's so dope. Nice.
It's weird because it's...
The old one? The old one was like...
Payson?
No, the old Spanish
one. Oh, well, that old one was like from the 50s.
Yeah.
Like, that was like the first movie theater invented in Utah.
Oh,
completely
old.
Sure.
Not old.
It was pretty
that place was the hangout when we were in middle school.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a shithole when I went to high school.
So it was... There's some theaters that are just flat. Like, you walk in and all the chairs are flat and then the screen. But they all are reclined, so like everybody has a good view, but it's just weird going in when you're used to a theater that goes up.
Yeah.
And then you just walk in and it's just a flat area and you just sit in your chair and climb back. And
I mean, I'm sure there's nicer theaters, but coming from like, you remember Payson Theater?
Payson was nice.
It was nice, but then I went to Spanish Fork and then I tried to go back and watch a movie at Payson and I was like, I can't sit in this chair. Like, I'm so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was fidgeting the whole time. I think
once
it was a movie
get,
I wasn't
like,
even interested in.
The new recliners and everything, it's just like, gosh.
Game over, huh?
All right, well, Bucket, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We love you. Come back anytime.
Yeah,
I'll
have to get you guys on the podcast.
Hell yeah. We'll talk about Massage Union.
Yeah.
Maybe it exists. I have a good job.
I'm sure it
does. But one more time, why don't you shout out
your podcast, your Instagram.
Yeah, so the Iron Worker Podcast is the name of the podcast, and the Instagram is Iron Worker Podcast. the Iron Worker podcast.
So is it just for iron workers or for everybody, like, just if you have questions about?
Yeah, so the main goal of it is to, you know, like, dispel those myths, but for union and non-union, you know, what the what it's like living in both differences, you know. Like, my buddy that I do it with, he is a non-union iron worker for quite a while, so he's got that side of the spectrum, and I take the union side, you know, where I've grown up in it and stuff, so it's a good balance, but we talk about, you know, just anything and everything iron work, so be good. So yeah, the Iron Worker podcast, all one word, and it's on YouTube too, but we ain't got nothing posted yet. We're damn sure gonna have something sooner than later, I hope.
Oh yeah. And send me all your links. I'll put them in my show notes so you can find them easier. If I were on YouTube, people would know what I was doing, but we don't record, so I just mime it. But anyway, I've been Panda.
I've been Brady.
Who have you been?
Bucket.
We can't wait to talk to you next time.
And we love you.
Special thank you to Brady for editing this episode.